Colossians chapter 3, we continue our study of more. The design of this study is that you don't settle for everyday, run-of-the-mill, lukewarm religion that's being peddled in society today, but that your desire is more of God, knowing Jesus on a personal level and on an intimate level. Today, we talk about in with the new. Last week, it was out with the old, getting rid of the trash. Today, we're going to look at replacing that trash with the good stuff of God. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching you and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we do want to hear from you through your word today. So open our minds and our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, by your word. Teach us your ways that we may be made more mature and better servants in your kingdom. And help us, Lord, to receive your word. Help us to lay aside the excuses and to make you the goal and the God of our life. For, Lord, in you there is joy, and without you there is nothing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Doesn't that just sound good? I mean, it sounds exciting. That's one of those things. Behold, old things are passed away. All things are become new. And it's really something that we can almost shout from the mountaintop, but at the same time, if we're not careful, we'll let it go. And not take it for what it really means. You see, the point is this. If we're going to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, at the point that we're saved, God didn't just automatically open up our heads and put in fresh information, whereas we know everything about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. There are some things we've got to learn. Okay? We've got to learn how to be this new man. We've got to learn, first of all, how to love. Well, you know, you would think, that's no big deal. I know how to love. I love fried chicken. I love steak. No, you just really like them a lot. Today, we're going to talk about really loving, okay? If we're going to be a new creation, we're really going to have to love. And verse 14 told us, says, above all these things. You know what that means? Just what it says. Above all these things. We went down a laundry list of things that we're supposed to do. But Paul said, above all of this, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's the bond that, it's the glue that holds everything together. The new man begins and ends love. But we've got to understand love. Real love. And we first understand and learn that love is an action. And I've told you this probably 100 times in 100 different messages, but I'm going to tell you again today because it's easy to forget. Love is not a noun. Love is a verb. It is something that we do, not feel. Love looks like this. As Paul began in verse 12, he said, "Put on tender mercies, kindness." This is what love's going to look like. If you're going to love, this is what you've got to have. Number one, tender mercies, which is a heartfelt sympathy for those in need. Do you know how to feel sorry for somebody? Do you know how to feel sorry for somebody? All right, we go a lot faster if you amen, okay? Do you know how to feel sorry for somebody? Amen. All right. That's good. You're halfway there. But oftentimes we look at people and say, "I feel so sorry for them." And that's as far as it goes. But Paul didn't say that you just have tender mercies. He said tender mercies and compassion, or tender mercies and kindness. Now that word kindness is the helpful spirit that meets the needs of those people that you have a heart for. In other words, you see the need and you do something about that need. That's what love is. That's what, you know, you can't have one without the other. And Jesus is that great example in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Jesus said, Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes," and we're talking about Jesus, he was, what's that word? He was moved with compassion. He didn't just back up and look at them and say, "Boy, I feel sorry for them. They're like sheep without a shepherd." Says he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That means he was going to do something about it. And you understand that's the idea of the biblical agape love that the Bible teaches. Let me ask you a question. Do you, when you see children come in this place on Sunday morning, do you look at them and have a heart for them? So much so that you're willing to go into classes and teach those children? Whoa, wait a minute, Brother Doug. You know those children, they're going to have to do battle with the devil through the week. Those cute little children are going to grow up into not so cute teenagers. And they will really have to do battle with the devil. Who's going to teach them? Well, moms and dads, absolutely. Your responsibility to teach them at home. But it's also the church's responsibility to teach them when they get here. Can you look at that child and say, "I want to equip you to do battle with the devil"? See, that's God love. When you come in on Sunday morning and you're sitting in Bible study, our Sunday morning Bible study, and somebody says, "I have a lost friend. Will you please pray for my lost friend?" You say, "Oh, that's too bad." Or do you actually pray for that lost friend? You see, love is action. It's doing something. Because you're a child of God. You got to learn how to love. Not only is love an action, love is an attitude. Paul said, put on. It's just like putting on clothes. Paul says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility. You know what humility is? It's thinking appropriately of yourself. It's not walking around saying, "Oh, I'm no good. I'm unworthy. I'm sorry. Oh, God." That's not it. It's having appropriate attitude of who you are. Okay? And actually, it's an attitude free of pride. You see, humility comes with the knowledge of it's not all about you. And if you're going to love in a godly love, you're going to have to understand it's not all about you. It really bothers me today because churches, in many churches, it's all about, you know, being seeker sensitive and giving people what they want. Listen, I want to tell you about Victory. Victory Baptist Church, it's all about Jesus. Now, we love you and we want to give you what you need to serve, but make no mistake, Victory is not built on you. It's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that's what binds us together. There has to be that humility of knowing who you are. There has to be that meekness and attitude of refusing to demand your rights. Have you ever demanded your rights? I love those commercials that we have on TV. Everything's, you deserve to be happy. You deserve a break today. You deserve to drive the best of cars. You don't deserve all that. They're pulling your leg, okay? It's an old-fashioned way of saying they're lying to you. See, meekness is that attitude of, I'm not here to demand of my rights. I'm here to serve the Lord Jesus. That's what love is. Humility, meekness, and long suffering. Here's my favorite. You know what that means? Literally what it says. Patience, the capacity. Here's where love really, the rubber hits the road. The capacity to bear injustice or injury without retaliation or revenge. Can you do that? See, that's what real love is. People get all bent out of shape in churches today. They get mad, get angry, and the fights are on. No, that's not who we are. Okay? We're told this new creation in Christ Jesus has an humble idea of who He is, and that He'll never stand up and demand His rights, and that when He's not treated right, He's not going to stand up and say, you don't treat me this way. But rather, He's going to say, that's okay. It's not about me anyway. It's about my Lord Savior Jesus Christ. They persecuted Him. They'll persecute you also. That word long-suffering literally means to put up with. Listen, you've got to have this attitude if you're going to love. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's hard to put into practice because there's something. Oh, Satan's sitting on your shoulder and somebody says something and Satan says, fire back. You don't have to put up with it. You know what I'm talking about? Fire back. Give that person a piece of your mind. Don't do that. You can't afford the loss. There has to be an attitude of love, and there has to be an atmosphere of love. If you're going to be a new man in Christ Jesus, there's going to be something about you that's different. You know what that is? 3:13. Bearing with, putting up with one another. Here's the hard part. We got to put up with each other. Look at the person next to you and say, I love you. Tell them, I'm going to put up with you. I'm going to put up with you. It's kind of funny, isn't it? That's what Paul's saying. I'm going to put up with you. But isn't that what we have to do sometimes? In the church, you know, and dealing with one another, sometimes we just have to, okay, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to put up with you. I don't like what you're doing, but I'm going to put up with you. Why? Because God says that's what love is. That's what I want to be. It says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Oh, here's the big word. Forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also should do. It's not what it says. So you also must do. This verse is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It says if you're going to love, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to forgive one another. The idea behind forgiveness, the basic meaning of forgiveness is to give freely. Do you realize that's what you're doing when you forgive? The first part of that word, for, it means to send away or get rid of. Give, it means to give. generously or freely. When you put the two together, you're sending away a debt. That's what forgiveness is. You're dismissing a debt that somebody owes you. Do you remember what they said to you that day when you walked in and you said, "Good morning, how are you today?" And they said, "What's it to you?" You remember that day? Ever since then, they've owed you a debt. You say, "I forgive you." Why? Because that's love. That's love. And when you forgive, you're putting aside that debt, saying, "You don't owe me anything anymore. Because I love you, I'm not going to hold that against you." Look, as Christ forgave you, how do I forgive? As Christ forgave you. You don't understand, Brother Doug. They really hurt me. You know, you've made jokes here. You've been kind of lighthearted about it, but they really hurt me. And I will never forgive them. You don't have an option if you're the new man in Christ Jesus. It says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. Are you forgiven? Are you forgiven? Are you a child of God? Have your sins been cast as far as east is from the west? Say amen. If it is, then you do it. It's not a choice. There's not an option. And you know, I think about how Christ forgave me. Sometimes I get messed up. And I look at others based upon what they've done to me, and I base my love upon that. Do you realize that's never been what God's done for you? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, because the world was filled with good people, that He gave His only begotten Son." No, that's a lie. That's not what John 3:16 says. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world because there were some good people in it." No. It says, "God so loved the world," and there was no condition tacked on the back of that statement. Okay? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The challenge is that you love that way, that I love that way, that as we live in this life and interact with one another and even interact outside these doors, that we love the world. So much so that we're willing to give whatever it takes to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, my friends. That's what love is. I'll tell you something else it doesn't say. It doesn't say they have to ask for forgiveness. Does it? It says forgiving one another. Period. But Brother Doug, I'll forgive them if they ask. No. No. You forgive them. Why? Because that's the new man. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, I mean, don't we want to live and be this new man? Don't we? All right, let's put it in practice. Let's love like Jesus loved. Then let's also learn how to listen. How many of you listen well? Yeah. That's why Beth tells me, "Did you hear what I said?" You know what I say? Huh? That's true. You laugh, but it's true. We've got to learn how to listen. If we're a new creature, we've got to learn how to listen. Verse 15 of the text said, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called by in one body, and be thankful." Okay, we're applying it all. Let the peace of God. Peace, of course, is tranquility and harmony. Let that peace rule. That word rule means literally to umpire. So what does an umpire do? He stands behind the plate and he calls balls and strikes. He stands behind the plate, and when the play comes home and the runner's sliding in, he calls safe or out. He stands behind the plate, and when the ball is hit, he'll call foul ball or fair ball. So what's Jesus trying to say here? He's trying to say, let the peace of God make the call. You know how that works? However you respond to the issues of life, that response should be based upon the peace of God. You know that voice that's on the inside of you that says, don't do this. I'm going to tell them off. Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Keep it to yourself. Don't do it. I just can't stand it. It's coming out. I'm going to give them, you know, I'm going to tell. Don't do it. Don't you do it. Keep it, you know, that voice inside. You see, as a child of God, you have been indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. He lives inside you. And I will tell you, I have never audibly heard the voice of God. I've never been Moses who had that burning bush experience, but I have heard God speak from the inside. He says, no, Doug. Don't do it. Doug, don't you do it. Don't you go down that road, Doug. See, as a new creature, we've got to learn how to listen to that voice. And I'm not talking about the voice of conscience, the voice of culture. I'm talking about the voice of God. As His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. God still speaks. He still speaks. I love the story of 1 Kings chapter 19 of Elijah. And Elijah's in deep depression. His life has been threatened. And so he's ran into the wilderness. And he's praying. He's called out to God. God, just kill me. God, I'm ready to die. Please, just kill me. I can't take this anymore. I'm the last one that's alive. And God appeared. God told him to go stand on the mountain. And it says that a great strong wind tore through that mountain and broke the rocks. And the Lord was not within the wind. And then an earthquake tore through the mountain. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then a fire came through. And the Lord was not in the fire. And it says, then a still small voice. We need to learn how to listen to the voice. Okay? You know what I'm saying? If you're going to be a new creature, you got to learn to listen. And it works, my friends. God works. When He says, don't do that, He's not saying, I'm trying to keep you from having fun. He's saying, you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that. Don't do that. Learn to listen to the voice. Teenagers, learn to listen to the voice. Before you go to that party, learn to listen, because there's a thing on the inside that says, no, don't go. Before you lie to your mom and daddy, that voice inside says, don't lie to them. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. One of the greatest news flashes that most Christians need to learn is that God still speaks. He still speaks. Learn to listen. Then learn to let the Word of God dwell in you or reside in you. Colossians 3:16 that we read, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Listen, I want to tell you about the Word of God. You've got to spend time in it to get anything out of it. Okay? I've heard every excuse. I don't think there'll be a new excuse for not spending time in the Word of God. I've heard people say, well, Brother Doug, I just can't understand it. Get you a translation you can understand. Okay? Get into the Word. Well, Brother Doug, I just don't have time. Well, then you need to give up something. Okay? Well, Brother Doug, quit making excuses. Okay? You got to get into the Word of God. You got to put it in before it'll come out. And however you do that, whatever you do to make time to do that, you've got to do it. As a new creation, you've got to be fed daily. Isn't it wonderful to eat? I love it. You can tell. I love it. I like breakfast. I like lunch. And I like dinner. I don't like skipping a meal. What are you going to have today? Oh, I'm just going to pass. I'm going to fast. Sure, doesn't sound like fun to me. How about you? I like to eat. Well, see, for the Christian, there's a spiritual diet. And if you never feed the Spirit, spiritually, you will dry up into nothing. You got to get into the Word. Quit making excuses. And here's how you do it. Now, I want to give you two lessons in Bible study. Okay? Two lessons in Bible study. Here's how you do it. Number one, what does it say? Read it. Read it. What does it say? You're not going to know what it says unless you read it. Read it. Read it, read it, read it. Amen. I don't know what to add to that. Read it. Read it. Get into it. Number two, you want it to really make a difference? After you've read it, ask the question, how does it apply? See, that's where a lot of us drop the ball. We have daily Bible readings. We may read one chapter, we may read 10 chapters, and we read that chapter and I filled in the blank. Listen, Bible study is not a fill in the blank thing. Okay? Read it, read it, read it, and then ask yourself the question, how does it apply? Because that's where God's going to speak to you through His Word and how it applies to your life. And you know what I've discovered? There's nothing in here irrelevant to me. Nothing. Sometimes I have to dig a little deeper than others, but every time I open this book, there's a lesson in here for me to learn. Listen, read it. What does it say? And how does it apply? And you'll be amazed at how your life changed. See, the Word of God is quick. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharp as a two-edged sword, dividing even to the soul and the spirit. Do you believe this is the Word of God? Do you? Listen, if you could talk to the President of the United States, would you talk to him? You know, some of you may say, I don't like the president. That don't matter. Would you talk to the president? We haven't had a president in my lifetime that I wouldn't just love to sit down and talk with. Listen, you have the opportunity daily to hear from the God of the universe. Get into the Bible. Read it. Read it. Read it. And then finally, you got to learn how to live. We must learn how to live. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what the word name means? It's authority, it's power, status, attributes, majesty, for the sake of, it's the association with, it's in behalf of. Everything that you do, wherever you find yourself in life, whatever you're doing, be able to do it in the name of Jesus. That means that Jesus can put His stamp of approval on whatever you're doing. Big question. Can you attach the name of Jesus on every aspect of your life? Oh, Brother Doug, you know, we're all sinners. We all fail. Yes, we do. We all sin and we all fail. Okay? But we should be striving to be able to attach the name of Jesus in every deed that we do every day of our lives. Listen, if we're going to be a new creation, we're going to have to live like it. Amen? Amen. We're going to have to put these things into practice. All too often, I've said this a number of times, all too often, religion has become what you don't do. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, I don't do this, and I don't do that. Well, big deal. I want to know what you're going to do. Okay? God doesn't want you just not to do things. God wants you to do things. And that's what the last half of this message was about. Are you putting these things into practice? Are you loving? Are you living it? Are you forgiven? All to the glory of God. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you real briefly that Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus loves you. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Jesus loves you. Understand, He loved you so much that He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary. He went to Calvary. He was crucified. He suffered. He wore the crown of thorns. And He did it all for you because somebody had to pay for your sin. And Jesus said, I'll pay for your sin. And He did. And He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, salvation is for you, and it's just a request away. You can't deserve to go to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. But you can ask your way to heaven through Jesus Christ our Savior. Are you a child of God? If not, I want to ask you, will you come and let me share with you from the Word of God how to be saved? Maybe you're here today and there's another spiritual need. Whatever your spiritual need is, let's take the new creation challenge. Let's learn to listen. Let's learn to put these things into practice. And let's live so that the world may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for the instruction for Your Word. Help us, Lord, not only to just talk about it. Help us to live it. To put it into practice. Even when it's hard. Even when we don't want to. Lord, help us to love You so much that our love for You will override the wrong desires and the wrong actions. Lord, help us to have forgiving spirits. Help us to have a desire for Your Word. Help us to listen to You when You call. And Lord, help us to respond to You as You lead. I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.